Hello, my name is PDA, and I will be reading stories and poetry from my website at pdawriting.com. Today is P.I. Cohn and the Bicentennial, Chapter 1. Detective Christopher Rollins was halfway through his morning coffee when the phone on his desk rang. He looked at it askance, his cup resting on his lips. It was a rare sound, and he damn near flinched when it rang again. He finished taking a sip and tried to place his cup amid the stacks of paper on his desk. He swore as it nearly spilled. He swore again as the phone rang for a third time. He finally found a place for his cup and picked up the phone.
"This is Detective Rollins." "Really?" "Yes, they'll be right there."
Detective Rollins, or Chris as he was generally known in town, looked at the police tape in front of him. It surrounded a platform in the middle of an artificial lake, or rather, what was once an artificial lake. The county had been slowly draining it for the past week. Chris could see the plastic sheet that covered a body. He did not like the look of it. He lifted the police tape and walked into something he did not want to deal with.
"What do you have?"
he asked as he neared the uniforms talking. "We're not sure, sir. The draining team found the remains early this morning. It's not even a full body."
"What exactly do you mean by that?"
Chris didn't want to look at the body himself. Plus, the uniforms needed to learn how to give detailed, accurate reports. "It's a skeleton, sir. We think we got all the pieces, but we aren't doctors, sir. There could still be bones missing."
"How long has it been in the water?"
The officer just looked perplexed. Chris knew he would have to wait for the medical examiner to tell him that.
"Which of the crew found it?"
The officer pointed to a man who was sitting on the concrete, his legs dangling off the edge. Chris sat down next to him.
How are you today, Sam?"
Chris had made sure to get to know the crew. They weren't from this area after all, and he didn't want any trouble from them. "I could be better, officer," Sam said. He was young, just barely 20.
"Tell me how your morning started."
Sam knew he didn't mean his morning routine. "Well, I got here at about 7. I was open the site for others when they got here at 8. I was checking the water levels, making sure everything was in order when I saw it. There were 3 boulders over there." He pointed to where the bank was now. "I looked inside. They hadn't been fully aired until this morning. I saw what I thought was like an old handle of some tool someone lost. But it wasn't a handle of a tool. It was a bone. And that's when I looked further in and saw the skull. I ain't never seen a skull in real life before. I kind of panicked. But then I soon remembered to call the police."
You've done good, son."
Sam gave him a look at the son. Chris was only 15 years older. Definitely not old enough to call him son. Chris smiled at that.
Well, Sam, you know how to get a hold of me if you should remember anything else."
Chris patted him on the back and rose to his feet. A mysterious death. He didn't have the ability to do this himself. He would have to call in some help.
Private investigator Dale Cohn stood in front of a wall of glass that was their living room window, their upper floor apartment looking out over the city. They were clad in loose pajamas pants and an old, well-worn t-shirt. Dawn was a few hours past, but the sun was just now peeking over the skyscrapers. As the rays of sun finally started hitting their apartment, Dale made sure to pull their curtains back and let the light come through the window. They liked lazy mornings like this, without a case. They were up early, as usual, but they took their time getting ready, their coffee pot just now letting them know it was ready. They sighed and looked for a moment longer out the window before heading back into the kitchen. They stared at the cabinets before pulling out their favorite mug and pouring themselves some coffee. They took a taste of the dark liquid, burning their tongue, and then set the cup back down on the counter. They tried it black every morning, but could not get over the bitterness. They grabbed cream and sugar and placed both liberally in the coffee, lighting it up by several shades. They took another sip and sighed with contentment. It was perfect. They walked back to their window, foregoing breakfast for a few minutes longer. They would go out later today to find a case to work on, probably to the local precinct. They always had cold cases they needed to solve, and though they didn't pay, Dale always felt better after completing a cold case. Besides, they always had cheating spouses cases, business embezzlement cases, and such to pay for things like this apartment that they would have never dreamed of having when they were younger. Those cases were easy. The spouses were generally cheating with most likely the next-door neighbor or some sort of instructor or service clerk. The embezzling cases often were the people who called them in. There was always so much pressure from their peers that they tied their own rope by calling Dale in. The last case they had was an embezzlement one. The man who called them in, the COO, was sweating bullets the moment Dale stepped to the door. Dale didn't even need an investigation to know that it was the COO. The best part of it was one of the best paychecks they had ever had. The better the name they had for themselves, they found, the better the paycheck. As word spread of this case, they knew they were bound to get countless more offers. Their work cell phone rung on the table. It seemed they wouldn't be going after a cold case after all. They picked up their phone and looked at the number calling them. That was an area code they hadn't seen in a while. They hadn't had a call from someone back in their hometown in at least a decade, maybe even more. There were those first few calls right after they moved when they were just 18. "This is P.I. Cone. How may I help you?" they asked as they picked up the phone.
"Hi, Dale. I don't know if you remember me, but I'm Christopher Rollins."
They did remember the boy that was 3 years older, a cool senior when they entered high school.
"What can I do for you, Chris? If I remember correctly, you were a beat cop when I left." "Well, you see, it's detective now. There's this case here in town."
He sighed through the phone.
"I need your help. I don't have the expertise or resources to be able to do this one on my own."
Dale was proud of Chris. The boy they had known so long ago did not ask for help.
"What happened?" "A body was found. An old one."
Dale was hooked right then and there.
"We can pay you, probably not your normal fee, but it would be something. Plus, you get to see Andrew again."
Dale wasn't sure they wanted to see Andrew. "I'll do it. What can you tell me?"
"I'll tell you the details when you get here, and by then we should have a preliminary autopsy report in."
"I can be there." They checked the clock. 8:12. They still had to get ready. It would take 4 hours to get there. "I can be there by 2 p.m. at the latest."
"I'll see you then."
"I'll see you then."
"And Dale?"
"Yes?"
"Thank you."
The sun was bright as Dale stepped out of their car. They had watched the old buildings and streets as they passed their windows. It was surreal seeing it all again after so many years. So much had stayed the same, yet so much had changed. The police station, thankfully, they had never truly seen in their youth. Dale hoped they could possibly forget about the past for the moments while they were inside. They adjusted their sunglasses against the glare from the surrounding cars and walked into the station. Chris was waiting for them in the waiting room, leaning against the intake desk. His bare, lightly tanned forearms were crossed in front of him. Dale had a flash of memory. Chris was leaning against the school's office counter in the exact same way, waiting for his little brother to arrive. Seniors mentored incoming freshmen for the first month. Chris had been Dale's. The freshmen were often referred to as younger siblings. Dale had hated being called little brother.
"Hello, little sibling."
Chris apparently had had that same flash of memory. Dale took in account the sibling rather than brother and hoped their time here wouldn't be as bad as they thought. "Hello, Chris." Dale gave a small little smile to him as they took off their sunglasses.
"Do you remember Elijah?"
"Yes." Dale truly did smile this time.
And I also remember how smitten you were with her. Chris blush. Well, she now happens to be my wife. Good for you. Chris bobbed his head. She's also the medical examiner here. It'll be good to see her again. Dale meant it. Eli had always been good to them. Come. She should have something to show for us by now. Chris led them to the elevator and down to the basement. Dale wished they still had their sunglasses on as they entered the ME lab. It was bright. Every surface was either polished stainless steel or bright white stone. As their eyes adjusted, they saw Elia smiling at them. Her long dark braids were collected at the base of her head in a low bun. You have turned into quite the person, Dale. She was beaming. I don't remember you being this tall. I may have grown a few inches since you last saw me when I was 15. A few? You definitely look over 6 feet now. Would you believe me if I told you I was wearing lifts? She swatted at them. She was dotting over them like a mother, and they couldn't help but bask in that warmth. I hear Chris finally caught your attention. She smiled and pulled him closer. Well, when he started bringing me flowers every day he was off while I was at school, I had no choice but to notice. It was almost a 5-hour drive, yet every day he had off, he would be there, flowers in hand. Chris cleared his throat, uncomfortable with all this affectionate talk. Some things never changed, but Dale could tell by the spark in his eye that he enjoyed some of it. Right, yes, the body, Elia started. I'm surprised they found as much as they did. She motioned to the skeleton on the spotless metal table. By the wear on the bones, I would say it was in the water for a long time. The current, it seems, jammed the body in that alcove of rocks, and the sediment quickly buried it. That saved it from being picked apart by local wildlife. Anything else? Dale asked. Unfortunately, no. I don't have the experience to deal with this or the knowledge. Being a small town ME doesn't require anything past a health sciences or biology degree.
So we'll need to call in a specialist then,
Chris questioned. Elia nodded, and Dale was about to offer one, who they knew would help, when Elia spoke up. A friend of mine from school, Sylvia Harrison. She went on for further studies. She's an ME in the city now. Quite a reputation if what she says is true. She'd be able to help us if she were willing.
I think she will be, Dale said. Sylvia was the exact person who they had been thinking of. I've worked with her before, with bodies in similar condition to this.
You know Sylvia? Elia turned to Dale. That would explain the stories of the dashing PI she told me she had worked with.
Dale reddened.
Yeah, if I ever get a case and need medical info or for an actual body to be looked at, most for cold cases and such, I always go to her. It'll be good to see her again, even if a body is the reason for it. Elia looked at the clock. I'll call her now and check her availability. Hopefully she'll be able to spare some time. The family that Dale had once had was gone now. Long gone. The only place they had to stay for the next few nights was the hotel they had in town. They could have probably bothered Andrew for a place on his couch or spare room, but they weren't ready for that just yet. They weren't even ready to see him. So much had happened around the time they left. Some of it is what made them leave. Some of the reasoning had been Andrew. They had been best friends for so long. Dale didn't know how to deal with what happened between them. It still was not something they had faced to this day, 13 years later. Though, apparently, Dale was going to have to face it sooner rather than later. Because after they got the keys from the desk and headed up the stairs to their room, they saw Andrew leaning on their door. Dale couldn't speak for a moment. They hadn't seen Andrew in so long. He looked so different, so much like himself and what he had always been meant to be. Andrew had understood what it was like to be seen as what you were not. They had grasped onto each other because of that long before either of them knew what it meant. Hello, Andrew. It's good to see you. And in that moment, Dale meant what they said. It was good to see their old friend again, if only to see him as he was meant to be seen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that first chapter of P.I. Cone and the Bicentennial. I definitely did when I wrote it just under a year ago. I got commissioned for this story in June of last year, and I was able to get the first chapter out after planning for 2 months at the end of August. My reading skills need a little bit of work, and my voices definitely need some work. I love the voice of Chris that I have right now. It's very interesting. I'm not entirely sure what else to say about that, but I'm sure as I do this more, because I plan on doing this more, and of course finishing reading at least P.I. Cone, more than just P.I. Cone, my voices will get a little bit better as I practice them a little bit more. But this first episode, it was a little bit of a whim to get done and see if I could actually do it and have it actually sound good. And for the most part, it is. And for what's not sounding good, it's not bad enough for me to not risk sending this out there. So I hope for those who are listening, you enjoy it. I do commissions, as I said previously, because this was the start of one. My friend Haley, she had actually commissioned me for this. It was the story dedication, to where I wrote a 10-chapter story, which it is complete, still being reviewed by Haley at this moment in time, but it is complete. They get the 10-chapter story. It's 2,000 to 3,000 words. I was excited because it was my first commission, and it was like one of my big ones, because I have smaller ones that are available. This was a big one. I was super excited to write this. And when I was talking to her about like what she wanted, because it's her story, it's her commission. So, I wanted to know what she wanted to do. She didn't really have anything, and so it's like, I was kind of interested in writing a detective story. I've never really done that before. It's not something that I've had any experience with. Like, I will read and watch all the mystery and detective shows, but I never thought that I could bring a level of mystery to whatever was going on. But I think with this story, and actually all of the 10 chapters, I think I actually was able to do that. So I'm glad that she gave me the opportunity to start a mystery story. I don't think that I would have written one on my own just yet, just because I didn't think I had the experience for one. But since that's what we were talking, and like how that ended up working out, I was able to do it before I thought I was ready for one. And I think I actually was more ready than I realized, you know, after watching and reading all those mysteries that I enjoy doing. So I hope you enjoyed this. I don't think these episodes are going to be too terribly long for the most part. It's going to be me, an intro, small intro, me reading whatever it is, and especially with poetry, it's going to be really short. And then me talking a little bit about it afterwards. And I don't know if you can hear the screaming children outside my window right now, but I definitely can. So I apologize if you can hear them. But yeah, this chapter, it was a start, and I was glad of the start. I could visualize it very easily as I was writing this first chapter. It came so easily to me. Well, okay, it didn't really come super easily to me, but it was something that I was able to actually visualize as I was writing it, which isn't always something that I'm able to do. But actually be able to visualize it, especially when, like, you have the opening scene, just that paragraph that's there, where you have Chris trying to drink his coffee as his phone is ringing, then trying to set it down on, like, piles of paper. I'm just like, that was so vivid in my mind when I was writing that scene. And Chris, also I'm really bad with names, so I have very plain names. Not that Chris is a plain name for those who are named Chris out there, but it's a common name. And Rollins is, technically, yeah, I think some people have that last name, but it's also a city or town in the area where I used to live. So, and obviously you have the finding of the body, because you can't not have the finding of the body. The witnesses, but there's not much because it's an old case. So, and Dale Cone, who's a non-binary individual. I've been wanting to write a non-binary individual, as I am also non-binary, for a while in one of my stories. Most of the time I just choose if they're going to be a man or a woman, rather than making them non-binary. So, and Dale. I always like the name Dale. So, that's, well, Dale, that's how he got, I like the name Dale. Dale Cone sounds like a good name. Cone was the last name from someone who I used to know, so that was nice. I don't know why I'm talking about names, but that's what it is. I'm just looking at my document and going through it and seeing what I'm thinking about it as I'm talking randomly here. And, like, I like the image, again, of the opening scene for them, where they're just standing in front of basically a giant wall window in, like, just bedtime casual wear, and it's, like, early morning. I need a window that big, I'm telling you. Yes, I know that Dale is a nice, fancy private investigator who makes bank on the stuff he does. On the stuff they do. But, like, I need a window that big. I really do. I need a window that big. But to be fair, my current windows look out to other apartment buildings, so I don't know if that really helps. If I have a big window for that, that would just make me feel awkward because I feel very exposed. But no, if I have a high rise, nice big window. But anyways, like, they of course pull out their favorite mug because that, everybody has a favorite mug. I have two of my favorite mugs. One has a cat with an orange cat with a harness that says "Life is hard." Love it. Because I have an orange cat who's sleeping next to me as I'm recording this. And then every friend out of mugs. Like, we all have favorite mugs, and I like that. Them, talking about some of the type of cases they did. But yeah, the short conversation that they and Chris have. Dale wasn't sure if they wanted to see Andrew. Oh, if you've read some of the chapters that are up right now on my website, you understand the history there. But as I read the story, you'll understand more of the history between them. And I love it. And just, of course, Andrew knows, with the last scene, of course Andrew knows that Dale's in town. It's a small town. The moment that Dale was called in to help as an investigator, Andrew probably knew. So, I look forward to reading more chapters for this. Next episode might not be the second chapter. It's probably going to be either a short story or a poem. But I definitely will continue with this story and reading it out loud for y'all. And hopefully my voices will get better in the process. You guys have, well, a good night. It's not here right now for me. So you guys have a good night. And whatever, even if it's the middle of the day for you. Have a good night. I hope you enjoyed. And I'll see you next time on the PDA Writing Podcast, where I read stories and poetry from my website at pdawriting.com.